For our call to worship this morning, let us think of some encouragements to prayer. Responsive reading, number 46. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
And when ye stand and pray, forgive, if ye have ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let us pray together. O God, giver of life and all that makes life good, we lift our hearts to thee and bless thy name for all that thou art and for all that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank thee not so much for the things which we call ours, as for those things which we share with all thy children, sunshine and wind and rain and flowers and the far horizons. We give thee thanks not that thou hast made life easy, but that thou givest us strength equal to life's demands. We bless thee not so much for what we know, for that is meager, but that under the inspiration of thy Spirit, we can learn what life means and how to live. We do not thank thee for what we are, for we are shamed as we remember our wasted talents. But we thank thee for what in thy providence we may be, for all that we may yet do to retrieve the past, and for what thou canst do with us and through us, insofar as we yield our wills to thine. Accept us, most holy God, as we pledge ourselves to thee, our reasonable service, to live not for ourselves, but for our brothers and for thee, to count ourselves rich not in what we keep, but in what we share, and to strive to live in fellowship of spirit with Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen. The private devotional life of the Christian. You may have heard of the shoeless city, the town that was famous for its shoes. Most of the people worked in factories making shoes, others in stores that displayed shoes. And everyone was talking about shoes, all kinds of shoes. But for some strange reason, no one wore shoes. And though the day was cold and it was snowing, and their tracks showed blood in the snow. When a visitor asked one of the citizens, "Tell me, sir, why is it that in this place everyone is making shoes or selling shoes, and almost everyone is talking about shoes, but no one wears shoes, though they suffer on account of it?" And the citizen of the community said, "Why, sir, why indeed? How can you ask such a question? We're famous for our shoes." Any seminary, any minister in a busy church, any student, any faculty member has this problem. In the daily handling of holy things in a technical way, it is altogether possible that we talk about religion, we manufacture religion, we display religion, but in all of this activity we are inoculated against the real thing. We neglect our private devotional life. I don't know how it is with you, but I find that very true for me. Praying is something that everyone does naturally, but very few do well. And I'm sure that I am not one of the few, and I'm not proud of it. The fact is, we can't help praying because it is our need. We must do it. It's sort of like walking or talking or eating or breathing. All do it, but few do it well. And we don't realize it until a crisis comes. I'm not too good a swimmer, and the main reason is that I don't breathe properly. I breathe quite well for just about every other activity. But when the crisis comes, I don't do it well enough. Prayer is not an optional subject in the curriculum of life, and it's not an optional subject in the life of the seminary. We must take it as a required course if we would be blessed day by day. For unless we meet God in prayer, we do not meet Him at all, or very little. Unless we know God in prayer, we do not know Him as we should. For the Christian religion is a personal encounter with God in Christ. So first of all, prayer is a lesson to be learned. It takes discipline. It takes a willing disciple. We should have a regular time and a regular place. We should make an effort to learn how to pray as we practice the habit of prayer. One of our British Baptist friends has a very fine little book, Teach Yourself to Pray. His name is Stephen Winward, and he knows well the lesson of prayer. Another great Britisher whose sermons have been so fine that one of our American ministers used them so well that when he passed away and his wife published his sermons, the copyright people came to see her. The British man's name is Leslie Weatherhead, and he's written several books about the devotional life, one about the transforming friendship which we may have with Jesus Christ. But what does he say about prayer? He says, "I have always found prayer difficult. So often it seems like a fruitless game of hide and seek in which we seek and God hides. I know God is very patient with me. Without that patience, I would be lost. But frankly, I have to be patient with Him. With no other friend would I go on seeking with such scant conscious response. Yet I cannot leave prayer alone for long. My need drives me to him. I have a feeling that he has reasons for hiding himself, and that finally all my seeking will prove infinitely worthwhile. Do you and I believe that? All our seeking will prove infinitely worthwhile? If we're honest, we don't really think so, or we would find more time for it. We find time for other essentials, like eating and drinking and sleeping and working and playing. Prayer is a lesson to be learned. Prayer is also a friendship to be cultivated. I've mentioned that it is a personal encounter. But we have a timidity about it, even as some people are timid in their personal contacts with others. Like most grandfathers, I delight in my grandchildren. And our smaller granddaughter, not having seen her grandfather for some time, feared him just a bit. She sat in her mother's lap and looked at him and looked at him and looked at him as only a baby can. And then finally she stuck out her little fat hand with one finger extended toward her grandfather. And of course he replied by sticking out his hand and pointing one finger at her. And then the little fingers came together in contact. And she smiled and laughed for the first time. We approach God timidly, but we find that if we take one step toward him in doubting's dim, he will come miles to us. This is the experience of all who have sought him in prayer. Our Father knows each one of us by name, and Jesus Christ, his Son, would be a personal friend in personal contact with us. George Matheson, who knew by experience the love of Jesus Christ in a very personal way, and I think the great saints of the past have been men like him, he writes about Jesus, his friend, in this way: Son of man, whenever I doubt of life, I think of thee. You know, that line has helped me a great deal. Son of man, whenever I doubt of life, and who doesn't? Whenever I doubt of life, I think of thee. Nothing is so impossible as that thou shouldst be dead. I can imagine the hills to dissolve in vapor and the stars to melt in smoke and the rivers to empty themselves in sheer exhaustion. But I feel no limit in thee. Thou never growest old to me. Last century is old. Last year is an obsolete fashion. But thou art not obsolete. Thou art abreast of all the centuries. I have never come up with thee, modern as I am. Yes, every fresh discovery of Jesus has meant an access of moral power, an enlargement of spiritual vision, a new and vital sense of God. I know him in whom I have believed. Niebuhr has said, to understand himself truly, man must begin with a faith that he is understood beyond himself, and that he is known and loved of God, and must find himself in terms of obedience to the divine will. Prayer is a friendship to be cultivated. And lastly, prayer is a life to be lived. Paul the Apostle had a theology that ranged far and deep, but his faith was very simple and direct and personal and vital and dynamic. And perhaps the text of his life was found or is found in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he taught us, or told us, how to live. Love one another with the same love which you have experienced in Jesus Christ. And keep on keeping on living that life as he lives it through you. Bishop Kennedy tells of the minutes of a Methodist conference, the date 1791. The account is about a circuit rider, and this is the only word we have about him. Otherwise, he's lost to history. In the minutes, we find question 10. Who hath died this year? Answer, Wyatt Andrews, who died full of faith and the Holy Ghost. As long as he could ride, he traveled, and while he had breath, he praised God. What a wonderful word. Would it could be said about you or about me. Prayer is a lesson to be learned, a friendship to be cultivated, a life to be lived. So let us put by some hour of every day for holy things, whether it be when dawn peers through the window pane or when noon flames like a burning topaz in the vault, some little hour to hold converse with the soul, converse with Jesus Christ. Let us pray. And so may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.